1 Corinthians 13. What does 1 John 4:8 say? It says, God is love. That's what it says. God is love. So we look at the celebration of Valentine's Day, and you know, there are different stories as to its origin, you know, where it came from and what it represented. And some will say it was a minister that performed weddings for those that the king had said couldn't get married or something like that. And the church wouldn't do them, but the minister did. And so it built into this idea of love. One's just about letters and such as that. But the point is this, it's a time for us to really focus on our relationships, to look at not only our spouse, but also all the people and the word love itself. And man, the Bible is very clear about it. 1 John 4:8 says God is love. You know, we look at our ministry, look at what it is that we do in our faith, and love is such a central part of that. You know, Jesus died on the cross for us for one reason, love. That's it. That's why he did it. He loved. He forgave the people that crucified him. Why? Love. He called Judas friend. Why? Love. You know, Judas betrayed him. Jesus knew that Judas was the betrayer, and he said to the Father, I've lost none except the son of perdition. He knew he was a devil. But even though Judas Iscariot was such a wicked person and used for the devil's work, and of course we said this morning the crucifixion was, it was part of God's plan. You know, the devil didn't hatch the idea. It was God's plan for that to happen, to pay for our sins. But, and you look at the dynamic relationship between Jesus and Judas Iscariot. Judas was in the church. Judas was the treasurer. Judas, you know, Jesus said, friend. Why? You know, because he loved him. As we wonder if God loves us, he loved the guy that betrayed him to the council. He looked out at the ones that nailed his hands to the cross and said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Why? Love. Love. Was it because they know not what they do? That's what he said. But the reason he could say that was this. Love. Love. Love hides a multitude of sins, doesn't it? It covers a multitude of sins. I mean, you may look at your baby and you say, boy, he's so beautiful or she's so beautiful. And everybody else looks and says, that baby's ugly. But the reason they don't see the love, they don't see the beauty that you see, is because they don't have the love that you have. And I tell that story again, you know, of the person whose son got arrested and went to his friend and said, I got to go bail my son out of jail. He got arrested and said, well, if he was my son, I'd leave him in jail. He said, well, if he was your son, I'd leave him in jail too, but he's mine. And what? And love. Love. Look, our kids make mistakes and they fail, but we love them, don't we? We love them. And we look for their redeeming qualities. We have hope in them. God is love. And what is love? Love is the desire to benefit another. That's it. You want the best for them. We celebrate their victories. We weep with those who weep. We dance with those that dance. We want to see them do well, and we'll help them do well if we can, won't we? And sometimes we know better, but we help them anyway. Because we don't want them to question our love. Love is acting to help them do well. Love is compassion. How many of you ever helped somebody that you didn't love? Sure we have. Didn't even know them. How can I love them? Because that's called compassion. That's something God put in us called love. Now, we could look at love on different levels and different degrees. And, of course, we could talk about the different words. We could talk about the love that is a romantic love and a love that is a love of brotherhood and friendship. You know, we can look at the godly love, you know, that love that only comes from a saved heart, a regenerated spirit, where you can love somebody and see the best in them even when they've proven that they're not worthy. That's agape. Loving with no expectation of return. Loving knowing that they can't return that love. But you know what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1? He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Simply put, Pahokee translation, without love, it's all just noise. Without love, it's all just... We can come in here and have church and get excited and jump around and shout hallelujah, but if there's no love, it's all just noise. When it comes to relationships, maybe you've known somebody that was just noise. There was no real love there, just a lot of noise. He says in verse 2, though I have, and y'all understand, I hope you understand, but let me go ahead and teach it just again for those who might not. When you walk through the streets of towns like Jerusalem, there are people who are hollering out to you. If you've been to the fair, you know those guys that work in the fair. They want you to come, hey, come over here and throw the dart. Come over here and win a teddy bear or something like that. That's the same idea, the sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. They make noise trying to attract attention. They want you to buy their goods. Want you to go to their market, to their store. Sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. Boy, that'd be great, wouldn't it? I understand all of it. I love talking about it, but I can tell you right now, I don't understand all of it. And all knowledge, though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, a powerful faith, and have not charity, I am nothing. That's a little different than sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. He says, I may have great skills when it comes to the Word of God and preaching. I may have great understanding and be a dynamic teacher and a very deep teacher and be able to help you understand it. But if I don't love you, then I am nothing. That's preaching has to have love in it. It's got to be one of the main ingredients to have love. You got to care about people. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Look, verse 1, he says it's just noise without love. Verse 2, he said it's just religion without love. Verse 3, he said it's just sacrifice without love. Without love, there's no value. Verse 4, charity suffereth long. It's kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Love remains through the suffering. In our wedding vows that most of us use, at least in a traditional wedding, till death do us part in sickness and in health. For richer, for poorer, well, that's okay because most of us can't imagine riches at that point anyway, right? Sickness and in health. And at that point, usually we're in good health. I've done a few weddings at last minute. People were dying, but they wanted to get married before they passed away. I've done a couple of those. But most of the time when people get married, they're in reasonably good health. And they don't really think about what's coming down the road, what might happen. But you know, it's incredible to see the testimony of the couples in our church that we've seen through the years and continue to see among us who are in the midst of battles they could have never expected. Because it happens to everybody else, but we never really expect it to happen to us. And to see that love as people just stay in there and become the nurses and become the servant and become the caretaker in those final years. Guys, it's a testimony of love. Because there's only one thing that'll keep them there, and it's the same thing that kept Jesus on the cross. And that's love. The whole relationship changes. Charity survives. Love survives it all. It remains through the suffering. Love is kind. Love acts to benefit another. Love doesn't envy. Love celebrates. Love celebrates. You get a raise, I don't say, oh, how come I didn't get a raise? Right? You get a new car, I don't say, how come I didn't get a new car? Right? We celebrate. Oh, boy, I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy for you. That's what love does. So look, if you don't have those feelings when somebody else does well, look here. Stop looking at them. Look here. Because that's a problem. That's a problem if we don't celebrate other people. Because love celebrates other people. Love doesn't vaunt itself. Love is not puffed up. Love doesn't envy. And it says in verse 5, love does not behave itself unseemly. Love doesn't act out. You say, well, how in the world can we say that when we know what marriage is? We've had disagreements in our marriages, and sometimes it seems what we would say is unseemly. Man, love sometimes is love is not unseemly. Somewhere in that mix is a problem, and we got to fix it. It does not behave itself unseemly. It seeks not her own, and it's not easily provoked. So you're easily provoked if you are what do they call that? A hair trigger? Is that what they call it? If you're snapping, it's time to check it out. It's time to do a self-search. Yeah, I mean, I get it. Your husband's a knothead. But he was a knothead when you met him. So what's changed? Look, really, we need to deal with these things. Don't just let it fester. Deal with it. Have a conversation. Sit down and talk to each other. If you need a referee, get somebody to sit in there and give equal time back and forth so we can get to the root of the problem and solve the problem. But the truth is, we want our wives to be happy and they want us to be happy, right? Amen. So it should be. That's love. Not easily provoked and thinketh no evil. When the suspicion sets in, the paranoia sets in, when you got to start going behind and checking on them, we got a problem. I did something with my phone the other day. I was adding an app and it said security features and all this. Well, in the midst of all that, it ended up I had to have my face on there or a code to go in. And I don't lock my phone. My phone is open. And everybody says, ooh, it should be locked. No, I've always got it, unless my wife is using it. And sometimes she has to use it for different things. But she has access to everything. And no secrets in there. If it rings, I don't jump up and run and hide it. It's just open. And look, that makes her feel better, doesn't it? Not just me, it makes her feel better. And so we got to make sure that we're not allowing suspicion, allowing paranoia, allowing distrust. We got to build trust. Now, that's not to say when people call me, a lot of times I have to step outside because, as a pastor, I don't tell her everybody's problems. Amen. People will come to her and they'll say, well, I'm sure Derek told you. She says, no, he didn't tell me. Why? Because that's pastor stuff. She does need to be in all that. I hear pastors say, well, your wife needs to be in on all the counseling. No. Let me tell you why. It'll make her look at you differently. So when we hear, if you see me walk outside and talk to somebody, that's why. If there's a secret, it's your secret, not mine. And that's the way, look, I don't keep secrets like that. I keep your secrets, but I don't keep any secrets, if that makes sense. And I told Brother Bob Smith earlier, I said, plus I forget everything, so can't hold it against you. See, that was actually Mary Lee I told. Now I remember. Love, verse 6, it rejoices not in iniquity. Look, I don't celebrate when you fall. I don't celebrate when you crash and burn. That's not love. But it rejoices in the truth. Verse 7, love bears all things. That's why you say, I don't know if I should tell you this. You can tell me anything. Bears all things. You know what? That's the kind of love I have for you. I can listen to it. I can hear it. I can handle it. It might be tough. And it might set me on some hard prayer time and trying to seek an answer from God. But I can handle it. Why? Because love bears all things. I've said for a long time, the thing we miss the most is having friends. People we can talk to in confidence and just bounce ideas off of. And we can vent to them and they don't pile on and make it worse. They just hear. Just hear what I'm saying. You don't have to solve it. You don't have to have the answer. Just listen to me. It's so important. Bears all things. Love believes all things. And yes, sometimes that gets us in trouble, doesn't it? If you tell me something, I believe you. If you lie, that's on you, not on me. I counsel people and they tell me half the truth. I can't help you with half the truth. I can't. Tell me what's going on. Let's get it fixed. Let's see if there's an answer. But if you lie to me in counseling, whatever solution I give you is not going to solve anything. All we're doing is wasting time. And time is a precious commodity. Love endures all things. Wow, love can handle it. Love can handle it. Love. So I don't know how you put up with him all these years. Because she loves him. That's how. I've had couples, not in this church, but there's a certain couple in another church, and man, they just pecked at each other all the time. Just fought all the time. And they, I don't mean at home. I mean at church. Everywhere they went, they did. And I had a lady in the church say, well, I don't know why he stays with her. Well, I know the answer. The answer is he put her through hell for the first half of their marriage. And now she's paying him back. That's the real answer. The guys, honestly, it comes down to this. They love each other. They love each other. That's why we tolerate the things we tolerate. Love. Now, you know, if you're the one that's having to be tolerated, get your act together. Don't make it so hard to love you. Love endures all things. Look at verse 8. Charity never faileth. It never fails. Love is always a good answer. By the way, I see these bumper stickers. What do they say? Love. The rainbow. Love is always right, or there's nothing wrong with love, or whatever. Let me tell you, nothing wrong with love. That's not where the Bible has a problem with homosexuality. Love is love. I love Ronnie. I love you, brother. Brother Andy, I love you, brother. But we don't kiss. Amen. Aren't you glad I didn't call your name, Malcolm? Hey, but listen, that's not, and we make light of it, but the point is this, God's not against love. God's against homosexuality. By the way, God's against fornication in any form. In any form, not just when it's homosexuals. Now, we've given ourselves a pass and put all of it on them. No, if we do it, we're wrong too. Love never fails. Love is always good. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. There's going to come a time when the book of Revelation will be irrelevant. The book of Daniel, the book of Ezekiel, will become irrelevant. Why? Because it'll all be old news. It'll all happen. I think we're getting closer. When we have the Antichrist and the rapture and the tribulation and Gog and Magog and Armageddon and judgment and the millennium and all that stuff will be behind us. Prophecy will fail. That's what it means. It means there's going to come a point where it's no longer prophecy. Right? Where there shall be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. We know in part. We prophesy in part. We know what we know, right? We don't know what we don't know. I don't know if I don't know it. It's beyond my knowledge. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come. Now, I heard for years that was talking about the Bible. that it was talking about the canonization of the Bible when it was all put together. And they say, well, because the Bible's perfect. But I got news for you. That's not what it's talking about at all. It's not talking about the fact that we have scriptures. It's talking about heaven. How do I know that? Because he keeps talking. He's not done yet. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Now, I can understand how people would get that interpretation that it was talking about scripture, but it's talking about heaven. It's talking about eternity. When I was a child, I spake as a child. And I understood as a child. I even thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. There comes a point at which we've got to grow up. We've got to stop letting everybody else lead. We've got to stop letting everybody else do all the work. We've got to step up. Paul, again, what are we talking about? We're talking about love. Perfect love casts out fear. Well, can't you think about heaven and the perfection of it? You ever walk into a room and just love everybody in there? You just feel so much love, just bubbling over with love for people. Just love them. That's why I love coming to church, man. I'm just surrounded by all this love. You ever go someplace and everybody there hates you? People, that's the number one thing. People talk, they call me and talk about their job. Everybody here hates me. They talk about their job. Everybody here hates me. And that may be true. A lot of times that happens, especially when they hire you in as the boss and all those people been there already. They wanted to be the boss. They're not qualified. Okay, they're still mad. You walk into a room and they're daggers. Oh, you just don't want to be there. So much hate. But when you walk into a room and there's love, like when you come home. Any of y'all have a dog at home? Well, when you come home and the dog comes up to the door and wags the tail, barks, woo, 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 so jumps up on your knees. Yeah. Your husband doesn't do that, does he? That love. Greeted at the door. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a dog. Definitely not a cat, right? Amen. Unless they're hungry. But that's the kind of situation. Guys, we walk into the church and we're loved. That's how it should be. Walking home, that's how it should be. Love. He says, when I was a child, I did childish things, but now I'm grown. And at some point, I had to decide I was grown. At some point, I had to put away the childish things. At some point, I had to take responsibility. At some point. Look, verse 12. Now we see through a glass darkly. And that glass, you know, he's speaking of a mirror. We look through that and it's dark, but then it's face to face. We can't even see. We only see the outside, the exterior, the superficial. How many of you can see into somebody's soul? You know who they are. Man, maybe you trust them, maybe you don't. But then, he says, then we'll know each other. I'll know as I'm known. People say, well, are we going to know each other in heaven? Well, Paul said, I will know as I am known. That's what he says. I will know as I am known. We know the truth about ourselves. Verse 13, now abideth faith, hope, charity. Three, but these, the greatest of these is charity. We could argue that, debate, but the Bible's always right. Faith, boy, is so important. What do we believe? Because everything's based on that, isn't it? Everything's based on what we believe. When you sat where you're sitting, you had faith that that pew was going to hold you up. Faith. Hope. Oh, hope. Got to have hope. Without hope, you have no expectation of the future and no reason to live. When you take hope away from someone, there's no reason to live. They don't want to live. Hopelessness. But then we come back to that last one. Love. I hope you understand how much God loves you. Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. I don't know how it is in your relationships, but you know, when it comes to our children, isn't that the case? They didn't even know us, but we loved them from the moment they came to us. The moment they were born, before they were born, we loved them. They had to learn to love us. But they learned they could trust us. They learned they could count on us. And then they said, hey, I can love this one. We love them first. We love Him because He first loved us. I hope you know how much God loves you. How much Jesus loves you is love that kept Him on the cross. It wasn't the nails. It was love that put Him there. And how much a church loves you. You're loved. Guys, we all have bad days, and we all probably get to wondering sometimes, does anybody care? And the answer to that is yes. The answer to that is yes. And it would surprise you sometimes who comes to your rescue and shows you love. Let's stand. Father, we are grateful for Your love and the love of our church. I know especially for those that aren't able to be with us and shake our hands and hug our necks and see our faces, that sometimes that love can feel strained or diminished. But I pray that they'll be reassured from my words and from Your Spirit that they are loved, that they are an important part of our family. Those that are gathered tonight, we're so thankful to be able to come into a place and to know that love, a giving love, a hopeful love, a love that forgives, a love that overlooks, a love that sees in us potential and that nobody else sees, but they see it because they love us. Thank You for this opportunity tonight. Dismiss us with Your grace in Jesus' name. Amen.